well as that, diminishing returns are pretty steep. Whereas just about every piece of copy really is emulating something else. Usually it's a combination of ideas from the past. There's nothing new under the sun. And one last piece of advice as far as how to steal ideas would be, instead of just writing a blatant ripoff, why not write the sequel? If you ever watched a movie before, like Avengers 3 or Avengers 4 or whatever, Avengers is coming up. It's going to be different than Avengers 1. Some of the same ideas and characters, but write the sequel. Okay, a couple more helpful hints. John Capel said, you should collect 7 times the amount of information you think you're going to need for your promotion. 7 times.
Why 7 specifically?
I don't know. Like a lot of copywriters use 7. I don't know.
Okay.
Just need a lot. Maybe more than you think. Another piece of advice that I won't really get into here, but it's something you can try on your own. I don't personally use this technique, I've heard copywriters say it, is try writing bullets first, writing fascinations first. I have this handout you can go through from David Deutsch about how to write bullets that might be a useful thing to try if you're stuck. Again, that's not how I do it. You might want to study some books about creativity. I have 2 that I'd recommend. Cracking Creativity, find on Amazon. Another book called Mind Maps, that if you've never used a mind map before, it might be useful. And the last piece of advice I give to you is probably going to be real woo-woo, as Joe was saying. You got to embrace the mystical a little bit. You kind of have to have faith in yourself or a higher power. Okay, like these things just... it's really hard to do. Like 2 books I'd recommend would be Wealth Attraction by Dan Kennedy, or Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. So, let's see. Next session. We're getting into leads. So, read this book by Wednesday. There you go. As you think about leads and coming up with ideas and hooks, if you want this whole promotion, you can ask me for it. This is a real classic one that's worth reading, at least the first couple of pages. What Never to Eat on an Airplane. This is a really big promotion for Bottom Line Reports that really launched them to a new level. See if you can guess some of these things, the answers to these, because that might give you some ideas as well. Like, see if you can guess What Never to Eat on an Airplane. And remind me on Wednesday and I'll tell you what the answer is. Because I actually know this one. Okay. So, who learned something? Judd? What did you learn?
Well, I love Rich. I can just walk here and just about the information and go after the stuff that I'm interested in, as opposed to thinking that I have to think about the market and see what it's interested in, that I can use that stuff.
Yeah.
Create a bridge.
Right.
Stuff I'm interested in, so that's really exciting.
Jimmy?
Actually, when Rich talked about perfectionism, it made me think of what we're selling. You know, so if I were to take a spin on what he said, you want the world to believe in what you're selling, even if you don't believe it yourself. So you have to believe in what you're selling yourself, because then it gets easy to talk about it.
And so how might you do that?
Cursive knowledge sometimes holds you back from believing in it. You know, like I look at some of these systems, and I have a background in finance and trading, and I'm like, that's bullshit. So for me, it would be not trying to sell these products and trying to find something that I don't know about, because then I could probably believe it a little bit more.
Yeah. it might limit your opportunities, though, doing that. I mean, another way to look at it, too, would be, like, it might be bullshit from someone that actually knows the markets like you have and has that knowledge. Can you somehow get in the frame of an average person knows nothing and understand that really the intention of that wasn't to snooker anybody, it's really just to communicate something in a more simplistic way they can understand. So understanding people's frame of how they see it, and some of it could be bullshit too. I don't know which ones you're talking about. But who else learned something?
I like the concept of being on the lookout. We're all looking for IDs, so we're all on the lookout in some way. But I want to try to be more specific on what I'm on the lookout for.
Okay, good. Anybody else? Me?
Well, to continue what you were saying, I like the whole whatever you see that stops you, and you're like, whoa, what's that? Mm. Like that.
Yeah.
That's like.
Yeah.
Like
so the light bulb in your head.
Yeah, yeah.
The. Sometimes you feel it, like a aha moment, people call it. Yeah, so if you're feeling that, then there's a good chance somebody else might feel that as well.
Oh, yeah.
Fisher?
There was two things. There was a whole making the customer see the world the way you see the world, which I found fascinating because it's almost like indoctrination,
mm-hmm.
which was awesome. And the whole reframing idea of coming up with a big idea, which I thought was awesome.
Okay. How are you going to use those things?
My thinking is, if I understand how, let's say, one of the gurus, and I understand, you know, what they do on a personal level, what actually interests them, then just put that into a promotion. And the whole reframing, I would just, I guess it's just, you know, in a way you thought.
Okay.
Ninja Turtles?
Yeah,
Ninja Turtles. So you said Ninja Turtles. My first thought was Radio Flyer, the wagons. It's a wagon. It's nothing to do with Radio or Flyer. But those are two really hot things, flying and radios at times. They're just like Radio Flyer. It's that, plus it's kind of what's old is new again. So you have all Ninja Turtles stuff, that's all these new things. Plus it's old. The Ninja Turtles are four archetypal characters. They're very, 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 very basic in playwriting. They just took the old thing and wrapped it in a new thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was.
Yeah, connecting, not creating. Yeah. Anybody else?
Yeah, learn how to read faster.
How to read faster?
Yeah, I mean, I've read faster. I didn't know if you could go faster than slow down, you would actually pick it up.
Yeah.
That's what I'm
scared.
That, then?
Yeah. That's what I'm scared to miss out on the ID if you go too fast.
Mm-hmm. All right. Anything else? Lloyd?
So I'm looking at this, reframing, mm-hmm. and then the top of my thing with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm thinking, like, if you really got to know your prospect, and you kind of like the prospect, you are the prospect in a sense, you're going to the forum, you're looking at the videos,
yeah.
whatnot, and then you take reframing at the same time, looking at the top of mind aspects at that current time, you could probably just very easily not only gain their trust, but even kind of like smoothly direct them to the way that you want them to go, the way they see things, the way they even think about what you're showing them.
Yeah,
just combining those three things, you know?
Right. That's kind of like what just point two of how we start things usually a little more indirect, because we're not just saying, hey, buy a newsletter or whatever, or even buy this investment. We're trying to, like, a little bit get in, you know, pacing and leading. That's not an NLP term. Like,
right.
Turn to pace with them and then lead them to what we want them to do, which is buy a product, which is not, they don't even know that until the way we usually do it, until, you know, 75% through the sales letter. That's what really what we're trying to do.
It's like, you know, it's you're in, like, in this golden position where you have, like, the perfect time and, like, an understanding of them. You
mm-hmm.
know, you combine that together, you kind of are in, like, a perfect time, space type of area where you just guide them along
mm-hmm.
to where you want them to be at.
Yeah. Easier said than done, but that's
that's
a good way of doing it. Anybody else?
What I learned kind of seems a bit basic, but I'm really I feel more confident because I understood that when you have to find an idea, it doesn't mean you have to create it.
Yeah. yeah.
But yeah, open your mind and be attentive to opportunities. So I feel much more confident.
That's good. Good. Cool.
I have a question.
Sure. Question.
So what if you have a great idea and you have the product, or you would create the product to fulfill it, but it's not very important for everybody right now. Do you still think it will be a good idea to pursue?
No. I mean, again, it's people's frame, though. Can you frame it in a way so it is important right now?
And
what's the missing piece?
You know that
like,
it's actually not really important. Like, I mean, that's not on their minds. Would you still try to push it?
No, that's okay. Like, that's where you need to figure out what's on their mind, okay?
Okay.
Sync up what's on their mind and make that connection for them. A lot of our stuff, 99% of our stuff's, well, I don't want to say yeah, because like things like
yeah,
Bitcoin and things happen,
yeah.
But like 90% of the time, 9 times out of 10, people don't, they're not waking up like excited about dividend stocks or options trading or
exactly. Just like,
or even like
basic,
penny stock,
yeah.
Like a new penny trading system, we'll say. They might find penny stocks interesting, but like that,
so
no, they're still not waking up.
Their mind.
Yeah,
so okay.
That's what we need to do. That's really what your idea should do for them is make those connections
okay.
And sync up with their world.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Talk next week about leads.